On this Northern Soundbite, I continue a series with political observers Nate Bauer, director of the UA Press, and Alexander Hirsch, political scientist at UAF. Though it seems decades ago, early April saw two crucial primaries amidst the COVID-19 pandemic, Wisconsin and Alaska. Nate Bauer says Wisconsin's experience sent a complex message.
Modeling has already had a really big year, not just because of electoral modeling, but especially because of the pandemic. There's just a lot of discussion about modeling for the disease and its spread. So I just think that as an example of taking a fairly scientific and sophisticated idea of statistical modeling and making it understandable for the public. We've experienced that with statistical electoral models and models of the economy, but I think that this is one of the first times that the public has been asked to understand what the model of a disease and the spread of a disease has looked like. So I think that that's an interesting topic. And then in particular, the primaries that have occurred in April, especially Wisconsin and Alaska, I think that there are some really, really interesting and unique features about both of those, and I think that we can also talk about those in terms of their indicators for, you know, looking forward to November.
Okay. Well, let me break some of those out, and we'll start with what you just said, Nate. Alaska's mail-in Democratic ballot seemed to go pretty well, especially when compared to Wisconsin.
Within the state of Wisconsin, the news leading up to the primary and even in the few days afterward was really troubling. There was some partisan bickering, and the governor at the last minute had tried to delay it or cancel in-person primaries entirely before the Republicans in the state legislature there forced it to the Supreme Court, both at the state level and then ultimately the U.S. Supreme Court. And so the in-person primary voting, as I think people are probably aware, occurred. And it was troubling, I think, to see long lines of people and in some cases crowded together during a time when everybody was wary of spending time and physical distancing and that sort of thing. So that was very troubling. Since then, I have been surprised to find out that turnout was not nearly as far off from 2016 levels in Wisconsin as I think many people expected. And I don't think that you could look back at Wisconsin and consider it a success, because I think that there were certainly examples of people endangering themselves and their health in order to go out and vote. But I think there were large numbers of people that mailed in their ballots. And I think that turnout, you know, while it was less than 2016, in a highly populated state, I think it was less than 100,000 person difference, vote difference from 2016 to 2020. And I consider that fairly remarkable.
But Alexander, your point, though, is this drew, I think, in many people's mind, a big question mark on how COVID-19 would play out in the general election and whether it would throw a spanner in the works.
Yeah, I think that's right. Nate is insightfully describing some of the impacts that COVID has already had on the primary election process. And there's a lot to be said there. For me, by now, it is probably clear to everyone that Joe Biden is the only remaining viable Democratic candidate to be able to receive nomination and a majority delegate count at the convention and to be nominated as the Democratic Party's potential president for the November election, general election. But for me, though COVID has created a lot of chaos in, for instance, the Wisconsin context with their primary, I think that the result of Joe Biden being the certain nominee was already pretty well solidified before COVID-19 started to determine things as they took place in Alaska, canceling the in-person primary and things as they happened in Wisconsin and moving forward. I think the reason for Joe Biden's success in garnering the nomination, I mean, very, very likely to have to garner the nomination, has to do with Senator Sanders' strategy, actually. That Bernie Sanders' strategy for the primary was a good strategy for a crowded field of candidates. He is renowned, Bernie Sanders, for having a very loyal base of voters. And his strategy going into this primary season was to turn out as many of those loyal voters. And though there's a lot of data to suggest that there was a ceiling on the number of votes that he was going to be able to garner in any given state, he was convinced that getting 25% of the overall vote in any given state, for instance, would be enough amidst a crowded field to be able to pick up the nomination. What he underestimated, I think, was the Joe Biden strategy in South Carolina, whereby he successfully was able to monopolize the moderate lane and consolidate that lane and gain the endorsement from the other moderate candidates very, very quickly. I mean, within a 72-hour window, Joe Biden was able to very swiftly pick up all of that moderate space and all that moderate room in the Democratic voter imagination. And I think that basically that detonated Bernie Sanders' chances. I mean, just looking at the Wisconsin result, I think Nate is right. I mean, we're talking about a million people participated in that primary, which is fairly typical for Wisconsin historically, but the margin by which Joe Biden was able to win that election, I mean, he won with 63% of the vote, which is over 500,000 votes cast in his favor, and he picked up 65 delegates. And that margin is remarkable. Thinking about how COVID has had an effect on the primary, I think it absolutely has had an effect on the primary, but I think that the die was cast on Super Tuesday in Joe Biden's favor.
That's part one of a conversation about COVID-19 and this year's presidential election with UA Press's Nate Bauer and UAF's Alexander Hirsch. I'm Robert Hannon.